TFMR is part of the whole hot button abortion issue presented in a certain way that really has very little reverence for the grief and the parenthood aspect of this loss. Our TFMR stories, pregnancy loss support in the heartbreak of terminating a wanted pregnancy. Today, I want to talk about isolation, why you might be isolating yourself in grief, why you might be feeling like you need to go inward, and why this happens even a little bit more with TFMR pregnancy loss. So, I have three things, main reasons that I want to talk to you about, and three ways to work with this energy of isolation so that it's more of a not so much protecting, well, there's a protection element to it, but protecting, but also being able to open up to yourself and to other people that feel safe to you so that you don't feel so isolated. It is more of a conscious, solitary journey. So I want to take you more into that conscious, solitary energy of you're choosing this. Rather than the isolating, because it is so very isolating. And if you're here live and you want to comment, please do. Or if you're watching the replay, or I'll probably put this on the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, I don't know if you can like it there, but anyway, like, comment, whatever you can do. So the first reason you might be isolating yourself in the grief of TFMR, of needing to end a wanted pregnancy for health reasons is that grief is inherently a solitary journey. This can come up, you may feel this with your partner, regardless of gender. So the person who carries the baby, we have this connection. There's this deeper connection. You've also gone through a lot of body trauma, and that trauma is all wrapped up in the grief. And the partner may not have, they could have secondary trauma, like trauma through what happened or the way the procedures went or needing to travel to another state, all of those things. All of those things are traumatic. But you may have a little bit more if you're the one who carried the baby. And like I said in the beginning, I want to take you from isolation to sort of this empowering solitary energy. So, to counter this of grief just being the way that it is, it asks for time and space to move in the way that it's going to move. So, you need solo time. Solo time is healing in grief. This can look like a lot of different things, and it's going to be unique to you. It's going to be unique to the way that you do your self-care and the things that you like to do in the world. And also know that the things that you liked before, it may be different now. And that's also another thing to grieve. It's another thing to grieve that you no longer like a certain type of prayer or meditation, or you no longer like a certain hobby. Maybe because it takes you out into a crowd and you don't want to be in crowds right now. But it's okay to grieve that you can't do that hobby or that self-care activity that really used to fill you up. And maybe right now in grief, it's shifting, it's moving. You need something a little bit different. Also, try and make this solo time intentional. So this can help with the isolating loneliness. When I was very early in grief and I wanted to be inside, not going out, just laying on my grass, really, or laying on my bed, it helped a little when I felt like I'm choosing this. I'm choosing this time. I'm choosing this place to do this for my grief. So when you choose it, you're intentionally choosing it. And then maybe it feels a little less isolating because isolating to me feels hard. It feels like being pushed out. And that does happen with TFMR, pregnancy loss. It happens with all types of baby loss, but there's another layer with TFMR, and I'll get into that in the second part. But in this part one, I'm talking about grief being an inherently solo journey. So you can be intentional with the solo time. You can be intentional with the people that you're around. I do also want to invite you to our upcoming grief circles. So our Wednesday group is going to be starting on February 7th, 2024. If you would like to join us there, that's a way to be intentional. Although it's not solo, it's in a place with other people who are also on their solo journey in grief through this specific type of pregnancy loss. And it can be a place where you can bring this grief. You can bring up all of the complicated layers that come with losing a baby in this way, whether for your health, baby's health, family, finance, everything. There's so much to come up, so many reasons. So I do invite you to join our grief circles. That can be part of your intentional going in solo grief journey. We meet every other week, and we always do a check-in. So there's a time where you can speak what you've been going through over the last couple weeks. And it's really beautiful to hear other people sharing what their solo journey in grief has been like over the last couple of weeks. So I invite you to look into this program. You can find more information on my website if you'd like to apply. I have two more points that I want to share with you on why you may be isolating in your grief of ending a wanted pregnancy. I already talked about grief just being an inherently solo journey and tapping into the solitary energy of that grief. And also finding safe spaces, like here in the Facebook group, or if you'd like to join the grief circles, that can be a way that you can deal with the isolation aspect and really take charge of this being a solitary journey, you choosing that. Number two, the second reason why you may be isolating in grief comes from outside forces. TFMR is part of the whole hot button abortion issue, and we get kicked around like a political football, and our traumas get paraded around for one side or the other to say, see? And it can be re-traumatizing to read these stories or hear these cases presented in a certain way that really has very little reverence for the grief and the parenthood aspect of this loss. So you may be isolating, like protecting yourself from hearing about, reading about, talking about with other people these cases. I know that I do this too, you know, until I really know that someone knows my story and I really know their stance in real life, I don't really want to talk about abortion with them. I would rather not because my baby is my baby. My love for my baby, it goes beyond political ideals and laws. And my love for my baby and my love for my body and my uterus led me to make the decision that I did. And nobody saying anything else in any religion or in any political party is going to change that. So I'd rather not go into the debate space about it. And if you're feeling the same way, this is normal for this type of loss. You may be sort of swinging the other way and really wanting to get into a lot of advocacy, doing the social justice part, or maybe of other related reproductive justice issues. Maybe you really want to go into that place. Although I find that sometimes when I like swing really far into advocacy, I'm still isolating myself from my grief. I'm using the advocacy as this blanket or cloak to not take the time to look at my grief. And the two things can be happening at the same time. You know, check in with yourself and see what is true for you, where you swing on the advocacy and needing to isolate or wanting to really talk about these issues. You know, where are you in there, and where is your grief in that whole spectrum? It's not really even a spectrum. It's just that whole deal with the politics of, you know, our heartbreaking choice. So to work with this energy, you know, watch, share, amplify the stories that you do want to share and amplify, if that is the way that you want to. And then make sure that you take the time for yourself to also work on your grief. A lot of people really lean on groups like this, the Facebook group, or people that they meet in this Facebook group, or the grief circles again. Some people have been going through something with a lawyer, and they really need a space for their grief. So they decide to join the grief circles so that their grief is being taken care of. Their grief is being held and seen and understood. Because there's a lot of things that are misunderstood about baby loss in general and this type of baby loss. So if you're feeling misunderstood, go back to your center or come back to these groups or join the grief circle if you would like to. I'm going to try and write in the comments again. There we go. Okay, I think that comment went through. If you would like to look into the program. A way to work with the isolation around the politics and everything, because you may be isolating from the politics, which is totally understandable. I totally understand. One way to work with that isolation is to share your story in the places where you feel safe. So it could be inside these screened, everyone's been screened Facebook groups. It could be anonymously on Reddit. It could be in an anonymous blog that you have. It could be more public if you feel okay with that. Maybe your story has been shared in the news. It could be in our grief circles again. So wherever you feel safe to share your story, to, you know, combat this isolation that comes up with the whole politicalness of this type of loss. I have number three for you, the last one. The third reason why you may be isolating in the grief of TFMR is because the relationship shifts are exhausting. They are exhausting. Like I mentioned in part one, the relationship shift could be happening even in your main partnership if you're partnered. Your husband or partner or wife may not want to talk about it as much, or maybe you're the one who doesn't want to talk about it and they do, and you know, it's exhausting. It can lead to not wanting to be around anyone or isolating until we're only in the Facebook group and talking with people who we know get it. And that can feel so lonely because our social structure is so much broader than just online people in a group or your partner who you may be having these relationship shifts with because of differences in grief. Communication in general is difficult, and it can get even more difficult in grief when I know that I sometimes feel like this, like I don't even know what I want. So how can I express it to someone else? And that feels isolating when I can't even get to it myself. I can't even get to the core of it myself. If you've felt this before, you know, you can put a little note here, a little comment, if you would like to comment about which relationships you feel like you're most struggling with. Go ahead and comment here, even if you're watching the replay. So the antidote, that's a weird word, but the way that you can care for yourself in this upheaval of all of your relationships, one thing that helps me is to know that this is a season. And it's hard when you're in it. It's really hard when you're in the trenches, like you're in the middle of the upheaval. But know that the things will shift. People and relationships and our understanding of grief and our understanding of our own grief, it will shift. It will continue to shift. And that will take the time that it takes. It's okay. And another thing that really helps me with this is knowing that it's okay to grieve those relationships that are lost. I think sometimes it can be really hard to grieve the secondary losses. You know, we may, to use a really popular psychological term right now, we may gaslight ourselves into saying, oh, you know, the needing to grieve split in my relationship with my sister-in-law is so minor compared to the grief that I'm feeling about my baby. You know, I don't really need to give it time and space. And yet, grief, here it comes again, saying, give me time and space. Give me the honor. Give me the reverence that I am asking for. So it's okay to grieve a relationship that's feeling strained. It's okay to grieve the fact that you're not like cheerful in social settings, or you're not really into happy-go-lucky culture of your workplace right now. Again, know that this is a season and it won't last forever, but things will change. It will be different. It will be different, and you deserve to grieve that. You deserve to grieve those differences and those changes and that shift, all of those shifts. It's also okay to celebrate new relationships that may come in through grief. So, people that you meet through baby loss communities. If you decide to join Ascend, there are groups and cohorts of Ascend that they all still stay in contact over a, you know, a really long email thread, or they're still in contact. They have a group chat that's still going on, and those relationships continue, and they talk to each other one-on-one, and those are people that they didn't know before. It's okay to celebrate new relationships that we find through going through this great grief. And at the same time, it is okay to grieve the ones that may be falling away. It's okay to feel those feelings at the same time, to be grieving one thing and celebrating another. If this is the one thing that I've learned from grief, is to be able to hold seemingly opposite feelings and thoughts at the same time. That is a big thing that I've learned through grief. And if you would like to join our program and learn more about what that could look like for you, I invite you again to go to the tfmrdoula.com/ascend-apply. The link will be around here somewhere, wherever this is posted, and check it out for yourself. After you apply, then you meet with me one-on-one, and you can ask me all the questions about the program. You know, like, is it okay that I'm also trying to conceive? Yes. Is it okay that my diagnosis was for T21? Yes. Is it okay that I decided to do my pregnancy journey solo? I'm solo parenting. Yes. We make space for everyone's unique process, whatever you're going through in your grief. There is space for you in the grief circle. There is space for you to go through what feels like a very isolating journey, but I invite you to look at how this journey is a solitary journey. So to be on our solitary journeys and supporting each other as we go through them.